And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two coats should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is to come. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hands to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I received a couple of interesting emails this past week I'd like to share with you. The first is a poem. It's kind of a cross between "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" and "The Cat in the Hat." "'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the town, not a sign of baby Jesus was anywhere to be found. The people were all busy with Christmastime chores like decorating and baking and shopping in stores. No one sang 'Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed.' Instead, they sang of Santa dressed up in bright red. Mama watched Martha Stewart. Papa drank beer from a tap as hour upon hour the presents they'd wrap. When what from the TV did they suddenly hear except an ad which told of a big sale at Sears? So away to the mall they all flew like a flash, buying things on credit and others with cash. And as they made their way home from their trip to the mall, did they think about Jesus? Oh no, not at all. Their lives were so busy with their Christmas time things, no time to remember Christ Jesus the King. There were presents to wrap and cookies to bake. How could they stop and remember who died for their sake? To pray to the Savior they had no time to stop, because they needed more time to shop till they dropped. The second email I received was about someone who was in the store, and she was shopping to almost the point where she was ready to drop. And she finally was finished with her kids in hand and all the stuff she had gotten, and she pushed the button for the elevator, and the elevator doors opened, and of course the elevator was packed with people. So she pulled all her stuff in, and she's just finally so exasperated from it all as the doors closed, she said, "Whoever came up with this whole idea about Christmas should be found, strung up, and shot." And then a voice came from the rear of the elevator, and it said, "We already crucified him." The voice in the elevator was kind of like a modern-day version of a St. John the Baptist. The voice of one in the desert. The voice of one who calls us to reflect on what is the true meaning of this season. The preparation for the Messiah. We use the term repentance, a call to repentance, to get our priorities in the right order. We hear so many voices all the time, but particularly during this time of the year, voices through the media telling us all the things that we need. If you have two coats in your closet, well, of course, you need a lot more. But John the Baptist's voice was saying, we don't need stuff to make us happy. And in fact, if we have enough stuff, we should give it away. What we really need to do is to get ready for the coming of the Messiah. And people went to John. They went asking questions. They asked him, what do we need to do? I contrast that scene of people lining up and asking John this question to the lineups that we have in our malls these days, where we line up and we ask Santa what we want. People then asked, what do I need? What do I need to do? And John customized his answers. He didn't give the same answer to everyone. To the soldiers, he gave one answer. To the tax collectors, to those with enough. He didn't ask them to radically change everything they did in their life, but to grow where they were planted and change what they could change. If you were to go up to John the Baptist and ask him the question, what am I to do? What would he tell you? He would customize his answer to what you need at this time in your life. You just need the courage to ask the question and then the willingness to listen. And people will say, well, where will I hear this answer? Well, any Sunday you could open the bulletin. There's usually a dozen requests of things you can do. But you don't want to keep adding on more and more. The Lord's just not asking us to keep doing beyond what we can, but to do what we can. There also is that quiet voice in the back of our heads, the back of our little elevators there, that if we will listen, we can hear. It's that voice oftentimes we don't want to hear because it's telling us what we need rather than what we want. But if we listen, that voice may tell us how we need to prepare for this season. Repentance, a shift in our Christmas focus from what we want, from what we will get, to what we can give. And it's not just stuff that we can give. Maybe our time. Kids, I'm sure if you ask your parents, what do you want for Christmas? I know I tell my kids, clean your room. Love each other. Repentance, the refocusing from what we want to what we need. We have some help to do that this week. We'll be having a parish communal penance reconciliation service here on Tuesday. A good opportunity for all of us, together as a community, to sift through that wheat and chaff in our life, to separate, to put priorities in their right place. I know I'd like to get this done before the Messiah comes and does it for me. And of course, you'll look at your calendar and say, oh, I'm busy Tuesday. Well, we're doing it also at Holy Name of Jesus on Wednesday. John the Baptist preached, as we heard at the end of the gospel, good news. And many people say, well, you know, repentance doesn't sound to me like good news. But if you think about it, it is good news. Because what comes after repentance? That's when joy comes. When we get rid of all that stuff that's blocking the Lord, then the Lord can fully come to us. Repentance is good news. In that first reading from the prophet Zephaniah, we heard, the Lord has remembered the judgment against you, has removed the judgment against you. Be glad, shout for joy. Joy, it's difficult to define. Father Tobin does a nice job in the bulletin this week talking about joy. But the one thing it's clear about it, it's not dependent on stuff outside ourselves. It's an inner attitude. It's an inner quality. Happiness can kind of come and go. Our new toys will make us happy for a while. Of course, until they break, or we read that little message on the box that says, some assembly required. Happy comes and goes. Joy stays. Because joy is a sharing in God's life. Because God's life is joy. As we heard in that first reading, how God rejoices in us when we turn to Him. I know for many people, this is difficult to do. I spoke to a woman last night after Mass whose husband died during this past year, And she said, you know, it's just like someone just ripped my heart out. So I'm not talking about a Pollyannish joy, but something deeper, that even regardless of what happens to us outside in our lives, it's something within, a sharing in God's life. It can be a vicious circle. Sometimes you're saying, well, this is a season of joy. If you're not feeling joy, then you start feeling bad for not feeling joy. That's not what we're talking about, a happy whoopee-doo, but an inner peace with God, a joy that's not based on externals. After repentance, what I would recommend as the best preparation for joy is getting rid of all that anxiety, all that useless anxiety that clutters our life up. Too often, this season of joy becomes a season of anxiety, as we heard in that poem and about the person on the elevator. I read recently, the most prescribed medication in this country is anti-anxiety drugs. Someone did a survey on anxiety, what causes anxiety, and they found that 40% is about stuff that will never happen. 30% is about stuff that has already happened. And only 8% has a root in reality. I was thinking the other day, oh, gee, I can finally relax. Hurricane season is over. Then we got the flu season. There's always some season to worry about if we really want to worry. And it's not just our age. St. Paul in that second reading was writing to the Philippians. They were worrying. And he wrote to them, have no anxiety at all. And we can say, oh, that's easy for him to say. But you know where Paul was writing from? Jail. In every Mass, we pray to be relieved from useless anxiety. That beautiful prayer after the Lord's Prayer, protect us from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate today, this third Sunday of Advent. This is Joyful Hope Sunday. In Latin, it's called Gaudete, let us rejoice. It's why we light the third candle that's a rose color, to remind us that we're more than halfway through Advent. We're getting so close to the coming of Christmas, the Messiah in our midst. I had a good reminder of this a couple of weeks ago. I met one of my neighbors, and she was driving by, and all of a sudden she stopped the car, she rolled down the window, says, I gotta tell you something. I just found out my husband's gotten leave, and I can go and be with him. He's been in Iraq for several months, and they've been separated. And she says, in a couple of weeks, I'll be with him. She was an example of what Zephaniah wrote. Shout for joy, be glad and exult, because we are soon going to meet not just another human, but our Messiah. St. Paul wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Why has he got to repeat himself? I was at a school Mass here a few weeks ago. We had Father John from Jamaica with us, and he started the Mass very interestingly. You know, he came in the usual way and said, peace be with you. And of course, we also have been also with you. And then he said, I said, peace be with you. And we all sat up, and the children just gave back a beautiful, and also with you. Sometimes we need to be reminded. We get caught in our ruts. Paul is reminding us, rejoice. This is what Gaudete Sunday reminds us, that it's time to rejoice. In that first reading from the prophet Zephaniah, he wrote, the Lord will rejoice over you with gladness. If in this season you can't find anything else to rejoice in, you can always rejoice in the Lord, as Paul reminds us. Because the Lord rejoices in us, as crazy as that sounds. If you want a good example of that, come any Sunday afternoon when we're baptizing infants here and see the joy on the parents' faces and realize the joy that they have in their children is but a taste of the joy that God has in us, God's children. Our Baltimore Catechism summarized it very interestingly when that question said, why did God make us? to know, love, and serve him in this world, and to be happy with him in the next. On this Joy Sunday, let us try to enter more deeply into God's joy. Enter into the divine life, just as God on that first Christmas entered into our human life, into our sorrows and our joys.
Now stand and profess our